You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Fantasy Fireside, where myself and Colin will be discussing various elements of Warhammer Fantasy. We do have a reason why we particularly chose this subject in particular. In the last episode, our first episode, we did a quick recce of the entire world, and we talked about the various factions and places in the world, but we forgot to mention the vampire counts, and we had several comments saying, excuse me, where is the stuff about the vampire counts? So as an apology for that, we've decided that our second episode will be about the vampire counts as a sort of, you know, as a way to say sorry. And hopefully this will be a fun discussion, because I know you and Hal in particular, Colin, have spoken occasionally about the vampire counts, and I've all been like, oh, you seem to be quite into it. Indeed. So hopefully it'll be a worthwhile subject.
Yeah, hopefully. And like you said, you summed it up well. I need to cross this out of the our fans' book of grudges, this immense sin. I'm assuming what just happened was I'm so used to just breezing through them in Total War that I didn't even think about them. It's like, oh, it's just another Imperial province. Don't need to worry about it.
Just drink blood, it's fine. They're basically humans. Like, no, we can't have that. Law crime.
Yeah, pretty much. They're just pale people. But yeah. Here we're gonna fix that. Now, to preface for everyone, that's apparently a hard word for me to say, it's mostly gonna be about kind of the history of how the vampire counts in Sylvania came to be, and Sylvania itself, because there's a lot of different vampires in Warhammer. Andy, do you know anything about the game Vampire the Masquerade or any of that?
I know a little bit, yeah. I've seen snarky reviews by YouTubers who say it's really good and also a bit silly. So that's the extent of my knowledge.
Yeah, it's I've done a little bit of reading into the tabletop game itself, but honestly, my true knowledge is not far beyond that either. But the Vampires in Warhammer... I'm not going to get into the matter of who ripped off who, because I don't know. But it's very similar kind of deal. There's different bloodlines. They all do different sorts of things. And if we were going to cover all of them, this video would probably triple in length and be even more droning on than it is already going to be.
Well, without droning on too much, so do you know all the main factions that we could mention other than Sylvania, just so we can give like a very, like a teaser biscuit of like, here, this is the various ones, but we're talking about Sylvania in particular, just so we don't leave people in the lurch with curiosity about what the other ones are if they want to research on their own.
Sure. So we have the bloodlines of them are, and the first one is going to be the one we're going to be talking about most, the Von Karsteins. Mm-hmm. They're very much the Warhammerified traditional, you know, Dracula, they want to suck your blood. they even all talk in the old, ye olde English.
They live in Castlevania.
Thou darest is something, if you play Total War, Manfred will very frequently say to you, interacting with them. They talk like that. There's the Blood Dragons, who are just knights who use their vampirism to become the ultimate warrior.
And they have nothing to do with Far Cry 3 DLC.
They do not. There are no robot T-Rexes, great DLC, which though. Definitely unfortunate, because, God, that DLC was great.
It's so good. All the neon. Ugh.
Oh, man. Now I want to go play Blood Dragon, so I know what I'm doing after we're done here. But before I wander off to do that, the next is the Lamians, who are they're very stealthy. The Von Karsten, most of the other vampires are quite overt about it. They're big fans of raising massive armies of the undead and trying to burn the Empire down. Mm-hmm. Lamians are much more stealthy. They're mostly women. They have spies across the world, at least where they can conceivably fit in. I don't believe there are any Skaven vampires. Maybe one or two, but none that are notable, if such a thing is out there. Mm-hmm. But the Lamians are generally, they're a lot more stealthy. They're the seductive kind of nature of vampires.
Although when you said Lommy, it just reminds me of Game of Thrones with the Hound going, "What the F's a Lommy?" And he's like, "That's a Lommy. He made me a baked direwolf bread. It's great." And, oh, they're not like that at all.
They might bake bread. It's probably gonna have poison in it, but you know, it counts.
Okay.
There's the Necrux, who are vampire wizards, and there's the Strigoi, who are vampire hulks. Basically.
Incredible Hulks, not Hulk Hogan's.
No, not Hulk Hogan's. Incredible Hulks. They horrible, monstrous. Most of them are barely intelligent. They can gain intelligence eventually if they're either around long enough or eat the right thing and absorb its blood, and it makes them smarter. But for the most part, barely intelligent, mad beasts are the Strigoi. And I'm sure at some point we'll talk about the rest of them on this channel. But today is Sylvania and Von Karstein focused.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, it's time to go back in time several thousand years before Sylvania was a thing.
Okay.
Because the vampires all go back to someone who, by this point, you might have a bit of familiarity with, Nagash. He's,
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Essentially what happened was Neferata, first vampire, found his notes, and she created vampirism based on what she was, studying from what he had come up with. So you can blame him for all the wrong in the world that the vampires are going to cause, because he really is just the worst ever.
Before we get into it too much, like, are vampires kind of a neutral faction or a bad faction or a good faction? Like, what's their kind of alignment?
They're definitely bad. The closest to good are probably the Lamians again, and that's not because they're necessarily good. It's because
they're selfishly doing what they want, and it's kind of helpful. Yeah. Is that the kind of thing?
They're just stealthy about it. Like, imagine vampire Illuminati, and that's kind of what the Lamians are like. The rest of them are much more overt. I've just raised 10,000 zombies from this graveyard. I'm going to come take you over now.
Okay.
I'll talk, that being said, a little bit more about vampirism later on, what it does to a person, because it'll be relevant later on. But mostly, they're definitely evil. Like, usually when chaos is the main threat, it's the vampires doing something.
Okay.
So, Neferata, vampirism's a thing now. One of the vampires she then created was either her husband or was just some noble who created the lie that he was her husband because it makes himself look more legit. And this guy, you know, either way, he was in service. He was helping the early vampires on for a while. And then he saw things were going to go real bad. So he dipped. He got out of Nehekara, the ancient land of the Tomb Kings where Nagash is from, and where all the fun times were going on as Nagash was about to kill everyone in there. He saw the writing on the wall and dipped. He went to Cathay, apparently, for a little while.
Cathay. Ooh, yep. The elusive Cathay.
Going back to Warhammer China for a bit. And he helped advise them on how to handle the Chaos Marauders that try to invade that place every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then they found that he was a vampire, and it was time for him to get out of Dodge. So he did, and after an indeterminate amount of time, he flees to the old world and changes his name to Vlad von Karstein.
Okay.
The progenitor of, you probably guessed it, the von Karstein bloodline.
Hmm.
So, change scene. Let's go forward a few thousand years. 1797 and the Imperial Calendar. There's a nobleman of the Empire province of Sylvania named Otto, and he is about to die.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Well, he's kind of a jerk.
Okay, that's fine.
Sylvanian nobles are not generally not great at doing anything but being corrupt and useless, and he's no exception. He's just the one in charge of the province, so...
Right.
He's a bit more notable for that. He has a daughter named Isabella, and his brother, the nobleman's brother, wants to marry his daughter. So, you know, we've got some good old classic Habsburg politicking going on here. In order to become the new ruler of Sylvania, Isabella's father, Otto, the guy in his deathbed, obviously did not want this, because if nothing else, he wasn't a fan of the family tree that's a Christmas wreath. So, he tried to marry her off, Isabella, to anyone. Problem was, the only guy he thought was worthy of it killed himself to avoid the marriage, and no one else wanted anything to do with Isabella.
What did he do that for? That's pretty drastic.
He didn't want to be in a forced marriage, so clearly there was only one way out.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Kind of
sad.
Little sad.
Yeah.
Fear not, because one dark and stormy night, Vlad appears and offers his hand in marriage. Otto is pretty desperate at this point and agrees, and then he dies.
Oh.
Vlad celebrates this marriage by listening to Isabella's request and rips her uncle's heart out of his chest and then tosses him off Castle Drakenhof's battlements. The, like you were saying, Hotel Transylvania. this is the main big old vampire castle. So
it was like the idea that like he just like falls off the ramparts and then someone below is like, what was that about? And then it just takes a while for everything to click into, like, I guess there was no repercussion for him chucking a guy over the ramparts.
Not particularly. There were some nobles who did, you know, object to this random guy showing, why is he married? Why does he get to
he's
be
been
in charge
here a
now?
Day and he's already like murdered someone.
Yeah. that being said, anyone who disagreed either was won over by Vlad's charisma, because, as I'll talk about, he's actually a pretty cool guy for a vampire, or they were just unpersoned. They just disappeared and were probably eaten at that. So, yeah, Vlad's now in charge and married to Isabella. And funny enough, Warhammer does not have much in the way of love stories. Understandably, it's a tabletop war game. But Vlad and Isabella actually came to love each other, which I just find really cute. Initially, he just wanted, you know, to marry her for power. He's like, it's time to start climbing back up the social ladder. My homeland is currently nothing but mummies. I think I'll chill out here for a bit.
Bit of a mummies boy. Ba-dum-tush.
But yeah, they did actually come to genuinely love each other, and when she found out he was a vampire, she begged him to turn her into one as well, because she wanted to be with him forever. And he refused at first, because he did not want her to have to go through that to become an undead like him. And then she was dying of illness, and he was like, "Oh shit, I can't live without her."
Yeah,
because they'd fallen so deeply in love, and he made her a vampire.
Here's a question: would you, if you ever found a vampire and they were like, "I can turn you into a vampire," would you take up the offer or would you refuse?
Is it like, is it a Warhammer vampire?
I'm thinking like what we do in the Shadows, vampires, where it's a bit of a lark and you get to live forever. You can only drink blood or you'll throw up, but like you get to have a good time, you know. There's just some things that you can't go out in daylight, and yeah, it's a bit, and you know, you don't like werewolves.
I gotta be honest, I'd probably flip a coin because I don't know, I quite like going out with friends and doing stuff, but you know, as long as I make sure to do it at night.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Maybe if it was a Warhammer vampire, I'd be a bit more inclined. Because the vampire weaknesses in Warhammer are... In one of the Gotrek and Felix books, one of them was actually talking about it. Like, this person was asking a vampire who had recently been turned, and I'm not going to name any names to avoid spoilers.
Okay.
She was like, so what about all these weaknesses? How did this work? What's going on? And he's like, well, you know... for some vampires, you even look at the sun, you explode. Oof. Other of them, it's just mildly inconvenient. Some of them can't go past rushing water. Others freely can.
Water? They can't go past water? That seems really tame.
That's a thing. Rushing vampires can't cross flowing water. But at least in Warhammer, some of them can, because the vampiric curses seem to just... randomly work or not work on certain vampires. Like some of them, if they even...
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Then, like, if you flash a symbol of Sigmar at them, they just melt. Other of them will just laugh at you and kill you.
So wait, so is this uniquely a Sigmar thing or any... divine being, it's like they can smite the vampires, because like Sigmar, he's got that Norse mythology influence. I'm like, so he mounts vampires? I thought there'd be like a more pious
any divine being can be pretty good against them. But Nagash fought Sigmar and lost, and he was not impressed with the vampire's help. So one of his additional curses he gave to them. Which, that's another aside. A lot of their weaknesses and curses they have, yeah, Nagash gave it to them because he was annoyed with them. And weakness to Sigmar's power specifically was one of the ones he gave them.
So that wasn't even Sigmar's doing, that was Nagash doing it on his behalf.
It was, yeah, Nagash basically gifting them a weakness to Sigmar, because...
What a dick.
He's just the biggest dickhead in Warhammer.
Sigmar's on his cloud with his Warhammer, like, don't blame me, I didn't do anything, and Nagash is just there, like, on his throne of skulls, or whatever he sits on.
I know people say Abaddon can be like a Saturday morning cartoon villain, but Nagash just straight up is.
Yeah,
that's why I love him, because he's just an irredeemable piece of shit.
Yeah. His big hat.
Oh, I love him. But to get back to the counts, we now have Vlad and Isabella, the power couple. Ooh. Now, I said I'd talk a little bit about what vampirism does to someone. So it is important to note that in this setting, at least, it doesn't add anything or change, like, your personality. What it does is it exemplifies what's already there. So if you're you're an honorable knight, right into combat, you're going to turn into the biggest, like, warmongering, just crusader, who will refuse to fight anyone if they do not fit the exact criteria for honorable combat.
Okay.
Like, it exemplifies what's already there.
No, so it's kind of like the Captain America effect, where it's like, he was picked because he was a really good boy.
Yeah.
That's why he became a really good boy, like, best boy.
Yeah, and theoretically, if some, decently charitable person became a vampire, they would turn into, like, the ultimate Mother Teresa.
Okay.
It's just that the people who become vampires are generally people seeking, power-hungry assholes.
Yeah.
Or are turned into vampires by other vampires because they think they'd be good for their schemes.
Yeah, so, it's a very gatekeeping community. Like, we're only going to induct really nasty people.
Yeah, so there are a couple stories about decent vampires. One of them, if you remember that Imperial Vampire Lady with the ridiculously long name from the Empire Quiz. There's her. Once again, in the Gotrek and Felix books, there's a vampire character who's actually pretty chill. And naturally slept with Felix because Felix is just puts out like no one's business.
Oh, dear.
It doesn't just turn you into a jerk, but it's just usually the people who are vampires are jerks to begin with.
Yeah. Comes to the territory.
Yeah. And I bring all this up because Vlad, as, originally a fairly noble Nahekaran ruler, even though he took up a Dracula accent at some point, was, a decent guy. And Sylvania, meanwhile, has just always been one of the last places you want to live in the Empire. Its dark magic has always been abundant there. Warpstone meteors crashing into the place doesn't help, because Hellrock is not what you want raining down. But in Sylvania, it does. So
before we go any further, so you say Sylvania is in the Empire?
Yes, it is officially, it was an independent province, and I'll get to its modern times later. It is, at least on paper, an imperial province.
Right, so it's in that kind of Germanic, from our map reference, it's in that kind of space, in the kind of
half? If you'd like to... based off the real world, because the Warhammer Fantasy map is like a screwed up version of Earth.
Yeah.
Go to Germany and then go to Romania, and that's roughly where Sylvania is located.
Well, that kind of checks out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that makes sense.
It's just Transylvania, but they took
I'm from Sylvania.
Out of it. Yeah. Not the cleverest naming for this one. but, I mean, it fits, because that's where the vampires are around, so...
Yeah, exactly.
It's beyond even, like, all of the evil stuff that's always been there. It's towards the edge of the towards the edge of the Empire, before you start gaining the mountains where the dwarves are. It's always been somewhat underpopulated. And everyone there is both incredibly superstitious and uneducated. Okay. So it's just not seen as a worthwhile province, even when it was independent and somewhat under imperial control. Also, granted, I don't know, it's kind of hard to blame them for the superstition when you bury grandma and there's a pretty good odds she's going to come back and try to eat you. Oh. Could not say, I wouldn't be superstitious in those circumstances, too.
Kind of a feeding ground, so to speak, of superstition.
Yeah. But for the rest of the Empire, who don't have to put up with that, they're like, they're just a bunch of stupid, dumb people. They're fucking idiots.
Yeah, yeah. Superstitious idiots. Ha ha ha, look at my gun go boom, yeah.
Yeah. But under Vlad and Isabella's rule, it actually got a little bit better. It helps that Vlad was actually a somewhat decent ruler. He had a little bit of an anger problem, in that if you made him angry, he was going to paint the wall with your blood.
Oh.
But Isabella would calm him down. She was the only person who could, in fact. And when he wasn't having these fits of rage, things got better. Not by much, because again, it's ruled by a vampire and filled with dark magic. Mm. But better enough that the rest of the imperial nobles and officials didn't really look into how the different leaders of Sylvania looked pretty much identical over 200 years, a couple hundred years, because they're the same people. You know, they would change their name, so he wasn't always.
Just occasionally wear a wig.
I
can just imagine Von Karstein putting on a big bushy moustache, like Attack on One.
I'm
completely different person now. My name is Bobby. I come from the Empire. Do not have a go at me, Bobby.
He'd wear a wig and change his name to Blad.
I cut down trees. It's fine. Don't worry. It's fine. Yeah. I'm not a vampire.
I'm just a silly guy. And, you know, the taxes and everything also arrived on time, so no one bothered to do anything about it or look into the matter at all. Meanwhile, Vlad and Isabella got to turning many of the nobles into vampires, which also, funnily enough, helped things become better, because as vampires they had to serve Vlad and Isabella, who were, at least as far as vampires go, somewhat decent people.
And so are they kind of beholden with the vampirism? Are they, like, chained to them?
Yeah. You're kind of bound to the person who creates you a vampire, or makes you one in Warhammer.
Okay.
It's kind of sometimes a little flip-floppy in how strong this compulsion is. Sometimes it's kind of like a little mental link where your master's like, hey, you should do this, and then usually because your master is 100 times stronger than you, you do it. Sometimes it's more of an outright compulsion, like you physically feel the need to do what they want.
Yeah, he's like, I've invented a new form of cryptocurrency, and you're like, ah, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to hear what it's called. Okay.
Yes, Vlad von Karstein, I will invest in your shitcoin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Vlad coin for the win.
So, yeah, and they even sired their own little weird quote-unquote family of vampires with Conrad von Karstein, who is absolutely insane, and Manfred von Karstein. also known as you can also, I'd like to give him some nicknames, as you probably know. I was about to get to. We have Manlet von Karstein, Manlet von Kumstein.
I was going to say that was the one that you slipped into briefly. I was like, oh, he doesn't sound like a nice person at this rate. Okay.
Baldfrid von Baldstein, the Baldening, and the guy who single-handedly caused the world to end. I'm not a fan of Manfred.
So the bold people are bad trope carries over very strongly into Warhammer Fantasy then.
Yeah, it is a trope quite prevalent in Games Workshop writings, apparently. But, you know, they're not, I mean, you know, they're all evil. At least Conrad and Manfred are. But, you know, for now, they're in charge of Sylvania. Things are going decently. And then some lady found out who they were, because she remembers stories of her grandma saying, when I was little, I remember when the nice nobleman lady came, you know, came to power. Okay. And the nobleman lady, when her grandma was a kid, it looked an awful lot like Isabella. And then she did some research. She found out Vlad's real name was Vlad, same guy from a couple hundred years ago. And the secret was out. Oh no, even the dumbest Sylvanian peasant knows what's going on now.
Oh no.
The Empire would have done something about it, except it was also around this time Vlad decided he quite liked the idea of being the Emperor himself.
Oh, okay.
So it's time for the Vampire Wars to start. Now, in Warhammer, most vampires, one, even the weakest quote-unquote vampire can rip a man in half with minimal effort.
Yeah.
Two, they're all wizards. They're all good at vampire blood magic and dark magic and all that stuff.
Okay.
So, Vlad's army was walking into a graveyard, a lot of those in Sylvania, raising all of the corpses, and he just marched out. And the funny thing about wars is they make a lot of corpses, So whenever the Empire fought Vlad, he'd just resurrect all the corpses from both sides, and then his army got bigger. And this kind of just snowballed across the Empire.
So George R. R. Martin ripped off the vampire counts for the Game of Thrones series.
I'll say yes, because I have not seen anything past like season 6 of episode 1 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But I'll say yes, because I like Warhammer more than Game of Thrones.
Fair enough.
So that's going on. And sometimes they'd kill Vlad. It didn't work well. Because one, you can resurrect vampires in this setting. For most of the time, you know, you got to do some specific steps and stuff to do it.
I was going to say, it must be a ball ache if you're trying to, like, it's not just like, oh, we just press a button. Like, there must be some skill involved, because otherwise they'd be too overpowered.
Yeah, for most people, it's not just press a button. But for Vlad, he had a magic ring that whenever he died, it just brought him back to life.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Nagash gave it to him and was also going to use it to control him. Except Vlad, being a pretty decent wizard, broke the compulsion curse or whatever it was that Nagash would have used.
Okay.
So he just has life hacks now. He just has infinite Mario 1-up mushrooms.
He's like, cheers, Skelly dude. I'll have that, you idiot.
He's like, thanks for that. See you later, bozo.
Bye.
So every time they tried, Vlad just would go no and come back. And he got to the imperial capital of Altdorf when a thief managed to steal his ring with some help from Manfred, because Manfred is a treacherous little weasel.
Uh-huh. Well, I've never met anyone called Manfred. I'm just saying, I'm glad that name's not around anymore, because it's a bit of a weird name.
So it just sounds evil, doesn't it?
It makes me think of Manlet, which makes me think of, like, inferiority complex, which makes me think, oh, bad person. Yeah. I gotta be honest.
Manlet von Kumpstein.
Exactly.
He's got the name for a reason. He's the worst. Mm. So, as Vlad gets to Altdorf, no longer has his magic ring. He dies in the battle as someone tackles him onto a wooden stake. Both of them die, but good God, was that man an absolute mad unit. Mad lad. And the thing about vampires, or undead in Warhammer, is they're all animated by magic. Now, this is okay when the leader's around, you know, like the vampire, the powerful wizard, because on top of them being, you know, animating a massive army of the undead, they're also super powerful. So you have an untiring undead army.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Army just keep getting thrown and rebuilt and resurrected at you.
Okay.
The problem with that is, when you kill the guy in charge, the army starts falling apart because they're all held up by magic. And if you kill the guy giving them the magic, controlling them with it,
they kind of
run out of magic.
Right.
So Vlad dies, and the siege begins to end as the army begins to crumble of the undead. Isabella was also there. Isabella Juliet's herself, because she doesn't want to live without Vlad. Pretty sad. Love story mostly ends there.
Right.
But on the bright side, hey, vampires are gone. And then Manfred decides he'd quite like to try doing it. So, you know, a little while goes by, Manfred starts ransacking the Empire. Doesn't work again. Manfred gets pushed back to this place called Hellfen and is murdered. Though they never find his corpse. They killed him, but they can't find where the corpse went, so... Three guesses as to how well they really murdered him in the end. And that pretty much brings up to what Sylvania is nowadays. It's just filled with vampires and the undead and necromancers. Not a great place to live. It's filled with all those vampires the Von Karsteins made, so they're of that bloodline. And every now and then, they just like to stir the pot and try and take over the Empire, and just whatever.
So even in their, like, weakened state, are they still the most prominent vampire faction? Or are they kind of fallen from grace so much that they're not as powerful as the other ones?
As far as at least the Empire is concerned, yes, because the Lamians are, again, they're the vampire Illuminati, so they always prefer to do things from the shadows.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other ones aren't really predisposed towards the things the Von Karsteins try to do.
Right.
Like, the Strigoi are, for the most part, mindless beasts. So, you know, a Strigoi showing up in your town is a big problem, but it's not the same kind of problem as some...
But it's manageable.
Yeah, if you throw enough knights at that, it's going to go away. It's not an undead genius wizard marching across your empire.
Yeah.
Blood knights really just care about combat. If they drink the blood of a dragon, it cures their thirst for blood. So,
the blood of a dragon. That's pretty hard.
Yeah, not many of them do.
Getting Dark Souls flashbacks right now, just like a vampire going up with like a sword. Like, I'm just going to hack into shins for half an hour. It'll be fine.
Yeah, and so not many of them do it. And even then, because, again, what I said about vampirism amplifying your traits, they're warriors. They concern themselves with combat as, like, just for combat's sake, more so than to conquer. A lot of the time.
Yeah.
So they seek out tough opponents and stuff. So they're, in a way, almost not worth trying to deal with for the Empire. Because a lot of the time, well, strong combats, the vampires are going to fight chaos for a while. And that's just two birds with one stone as far as they care.
Fair enough.
And the Necrarchs are their wizards. So they sit in their tower for a while. Do evil experiments. It's the Von Karsteins are still the most prominent, even after all this. Never again quite as successful, but they're still the, at least as far as the Empire is concerned, and they're the top vampire dogs.
Hey.
But yeah, they do lose prominence for a while in the lore, because they keep getting put down. So, modern Sylvania, now that we're up to here, again, it sucks to live in. It's technically not its own province anymore. It's a part of the Empire province of Stirland. But no one wants to touch the damn place. Because ever since, you know, Vlad and all the vampires did their shenanigans, it's just filled with so many vampires and necromancers and undead, even when they're not actively stirring the pot, it's just not worth it.
I mean, to be honest, if you were a worker bee in the Empire, it probably smells. You don't want to be like, I'm going to build a house, and it just smells of rotten meat. That sounds horrible. Undead. Ugh, yuck. No thanks.
Plus, every horror trope you can imagine is in full effect there. Like, there's ghosts. Werewolves are actually not too frequent, because they're not too much werewolf in Warhammer lore. And believe it or not, I think some of the werewolves... Once again, I turn to Gotrek and Felix, are actually followers of one of the Imperial gods, so they kind of keep it on the down low that they're werewolves. Okay. So I take it back. Almost every horror trope is in effect there, but, you know, there's banshees, there's ghosts, there's the undead, there's spooky swamps with monsters in them.
And do the undead all kind of, like, clump together as friends? Like, oh, you're a zombie, you're a banshee, I'm a vampire. We get along? Or we just tolerate each other?
Usually, the vampires are the top dogs, because they control, they have the magic, so they bind everything to their will. Zombies aren't actually really, like, personalities. They're just meat puppets controlled by magic.
Yeah.
So whoever is controlling them is the one the zombies are friends with.
So there's no zombies without someone commanding them. They don't just exist on their own.
For the most part, they can, but if they do, that's like it's a random lone zombie. Just shoot it in the head with an arrow, and the problem will go away.
Okay.
But then you have Sylvania being such a focal point of dark magic that necromancers and everything love it, and vampires and everything love it, and ghosts and banshees and everything awful. That's not an orc or chaos related, just loves it. So very few hamlets, like towns there, even the most populous ones, do not number more than a few thousand at most. It's just not worth it as far as the Empire is concerned.
Yeah.
It's only officially under an Imperial control because it's a little bit easier that way for them to send witch hunters and the like to deal with the latest vampire trying to pull something. So, yeah, it's just a massive eyesore for the Empire, really.
It's like how Croydon is to London. Like, oh, it's crap. Oh, don't go there. It's dangerous. It's rubbish.
I'll take your word for it that that city's fitting. It's like Detroit.
Like Croydon's like our version of Detroit, at least in London. It's just like, yeah, don't go there. It's rough.
It sucks. That's what Sylvania is. And because of all the vampire wars, it's also spread vampire cultists across the Empire.
Okay.
So, and Sylvania is the hotbed of them all because they know that's where the biggest concentration of them is. So it's like, a lot of the time, I don't want to say it's a war zone. It's like there's a shadow war going on where, let's say you're a Sylvanian peasant. In the course of a week, you'll see like five different groups of witch hunters and their soldiers march back and forth across the town, and then a vampire will march across, and then another witch hunter will come and kill them, and then a necromancer kills the witch hunter. It's just really unpleasant to live in.
Glasgow. Okay. Yeah.
and that's ignoring the fact it looks like it's straight out of an R.L. Stine book.
Like, yeah.
God, what are those books called?
Oh no.
The
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps, books. Thank you.
Yeah,
I can remember the theme song perfectly, but not the name.
Thing is, whenever I think of that theme song, I think of that weird Shrek animation version, and it's stuck in my brain whenever I see it. But oh well.
Man, I've gotten a while without remembering that. At least if I'm remembering the right thing. So thanks for that coming back.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
But yeah, and every now and then a vampire will go, I think it's time to recreate what Manfred and Vlad did a while ago. And try and start crap. And it's actually happened so many times that Hellfen place where they quote-unquote killed Manfred, they stop numbering the battles that take place there because they think it just encourages the vampire to try again.
I was like, so they're not very creative. Because I can imagine they could do a lot if they actually applied, like, okay, maybe we should try something different. Like, go somewhere else where they might be able to apply themselves a bit better. Surely there's better targets than the Empire.
There has been, there was one, I bet you can guess again, what example is Colin about to bring up? What book series is he reading on? Gottfried and Felix, yeah.
I was going to say, is it Gottfried and Felix?
It is Gottfried and Felix.
They get around, guys.
Where there was Lamian Vampire, I believe, who was starting crap at the edge of where the Tomb Kings, the mummies, live.
Okay.
In one of the jungles. So they do get around, it's just... even Warhammer Fantasy, it is still very, you know, the main human nation centric. Not quite as focused on the Empire of Man as it is on the Imperium in 40K, but they do still have the focus, so it's just a matter of this is where all the authors are writing.
I feel like they're missing a trick with Norska, because it's probably like, there's probably so many bodies under the snow that it's too cold to get to. You could be like, raise all them up. I'm cold-blooded. I don't mind the cold. And you could probably do something there, but like, oh, it's not as appealing as the Empire, I guess.
They can do that. It's just the farther north you go, the stronger the presence the Chaos Gods have, and they don't like the competition.
Okay.
Undeath magic in Warhammer Fantasy and Age of Sigmar is actually pretty good at countering chaos, because the way it works is it basically... it flips the laws, or flips the middle finger at the laws of both reality and chaos, as much as chaos has laws. Because, you know, chaos is ever-changing and wacky and all that zine stuff. And mortal beings generally are not sustained by magic.
I just like the idea of, like, maybe undead bear cavalry. And the other, like, that would be cool. Like a vampire riding an undead bear.
That would be pretty
to fight
sick.
Chaos. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. The blood dragons do every now and then go and fight them. It's just the problem of bloodthirsty warriors who only care about combat. Khorne is a big fan of when the Blood Dragons come knocking.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, if they don't outright join Khorne, it's a big old battle where no one wins.
I like the idea that Khorne has a tattoo that just says blood on his abs. And he's like, I love blood. Look. Raises his shirt like, see? It's my favorite word.
Guys, come on.
It's amazing.
Come on, join me. It'll be a great time. We love blood here.
He's like, three guesses where I've tattooed the word skull. You get a bonus where I put that one.
First two don't count if you get them wrong. Now, before we move on to the inevitable part of any Warhammer fantasy lore discussion, any questions? Anything you feel might be a bit missing? I could clarify a bit.
So I'm just saying, because this is particularly about the Von Karstein and Sylvania faction. I'm just thinking, like, it must have been very devastating, that bit where you were saying about when Vlad died. The only thing I'm thinking of is, like, how did someone get close enough to impale him on a massive spike? Like, that seems like a really, like, big oversight. Like, some rando Calrissian just went, oi, oi, and just tackled him. And he was like, I'm in very close proximity to a stake. It just seems a bit, you know, were they already losing the battle quite catastrophically, or was it lucky, or is there any information about that?
It was basically after the, after he got his ring stolen by a man named Felix Mann, funnily enough. I guess if your name is Felix in Warhammer Fantasy, you're just predisposed towards
points.
BS, yeah. After he stole Vlad's ring, he was furious, and as the siege of the Imperial capital of Altdorf was going on, he was just like, all right, that's it, we're throwing down, I'm getting my ring back, let's go.
Yeah.
So, the guy who did it, it was basically like an all-or-nothing thing. Plus, like, he wasn't winning the fight. Like, it was Wilhelm. He wasn't winning the fight against Vlad. He was getting his ass handed to him. He just saw that if we don't save the day now, like, right now, we're screwed. So, yeah. In a Hail Mary, he tackled Vlad off the battlements onto the spikes.
I'm guessing in the Empire's history, he's revered as a hero then? If he's done that big of a deal?
Yeah, they're fans of Wilhelm. They even buried Vlad under his body just to really make sure he's not
just
getting
to rub
up.
It in. Oh, and then there's like, oh, and his missus was just like, oh, we just buried her somewhere else. We don't care. But like, we just want him to sit on top of his graves and just be like, Nina, 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 look at my bottom.
In all of death, you need to sit and look at the man who killed you.
Yeah.
That's pretty wretched. I love it. I love it, though. Just even like the plaque outside, just like, here is buried Wilhelm, blah, 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 and some other dude. And they just don't even mention his name. Like, oh, excuse me.
Some jerk.
What is this? Some jerk that he killed.
Yeah. I think they also stuffed garlic and...
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Vlad's mouth, buried it on sacred ground, and
rough
tied
and
it up with silver wire. They were not taking
just
any
to be
chances.
Sure. You would have thought, like, just inter him in a silver coffin. That would do the job, wouldn't it?
I couldn't find anything
probably
specifically.
Like, that's quite expensive. I'm
on
not
his
doing
coffin.
That.
Well, it's a Warhammer setting. There's golden statues every 5 feet. I'm sure they're sure they would have gone the extra mile.
I was just thinking maybe the Empire are penny pinches. I'm not sure.
I know Marcus Kruber in Vermintide complains about taxes a lot, but complaining about taxes is hardly a something unique to Warhammer.
Yeah.
Especially when you mentioned the Gotrek and Felix one where it's like the window tax. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know about that from real history.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, you know, they have their taxes in penny pinching ways, but I couldn't find anything on what the coffin was made out of, but I can't imagine they skimped on it.
Yeah, you could just literally fill it with cloves of garlic and then make it out of silver, and that would do the job, surely.
Pretty much what they did, except a vampire strong-armed a gravedigger into digging up Vlad's grave, and it was empty.
Oh. So he might be around somewhere, or he's been taken, his body's been taken somewhere?
I will get to him in the end times. Although that being said, now that I'm actually just remembering it, Gottrick and Felix short story, what a surprise. someone tries to, like a cabal of necromancers who have been trying to resurrect Vlad for a while, does it.
Right.
Gottrick and Felix interrupt it. And funnily enough, Manfred von Karstein also interrupts it, because he does not want Vladdy Daddy back, because then he wouldn't be in charge anymore.
Yeah, undermines him, yeah.
Yeah. So it half succeeds, and Vlad comes back, but he's like this bestial, mindless beast.
Oh.
So it's actually cool. Gottrick and Manfred both team up and beat the shit out of the monster Vlad. And then Manfred runs away because he doesn't want to fight Gottrick, because it's Gottrick.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble.
Anything
Kratos of the universe.
Yeah, anything in melee range with Gottrick is swiftly going to be unexisted.
Yeah.
But anything else to let me put off the end times, or?
I mean before the end times, I'm assuming that since they've been. Since the Silvalians have been diminished, they haven't done much since then. I'm guessing they're like one of those factions where they're just kind of, they're being a nuisance here and there, but they're not like a main player. Or am I wrong in that assumption?
They kind of go through periods. It's like those vampire wars, and then things die down as the vampires gather their strength and get their wits back after the Empire and the dwarves put them down. Because the dwarves, a lot of the time, they hate most of the undead. They think it's unnatural, which, to be fair, very right. Vampires are the worst. So after they get put down, they kind of gather their strength. And then in Warhammer Fantasy Battles, for a while, it was gearing up to where, you know, all the evil factions were on the march. So, you know, Archaon was getting ready for the great invasion of Chaos. Grimgor was gathering to orcs. You know, Malekith was getting ready to take back Ulthuan. And the vampires, Manfred was getting ready to do something real spicy.
Okay.
And sure enough, now we get to the end times. Manfred does something real spicy and resurrects Nagash.
Oh, he resurrects Nagash?
Yeah, him and Nagash's right-hand man, Arkhan, they kidnap the... basically the Pope of the Empire, so Nagash can use his body to possess and resurrect himself with, as well as the daughter of the Ever Queen of the High Elves, who, what they planned was, because Ever Queens basically have a bit of they're like a composite soul, so okay. The soul of the previous Ever Queen goes to the next, and then that goes into the next, and when they die, and on, and there's also a bit of the elven god Isha's power in them. So they figure, let's just take the daughter, and then we get all that sweet elf soul power, and Nagash is even stronger.
Right.
Doesn't work, because the previous Ever Queen is still alive. And so this daughter, Aliathra, is really just it's like when you want to move, like, you want to move a decoration from one part of your house to the other. Like, you want to put something on a different shelf, but you haven't moved it yet. Aliathra's basically an empty shelf going to get a bunch of soul juice.
Okay.
She doesn't have the soul juice yet, because the current Ever Queen, Alariel's still alive.
I'm just surprised anyone would want to revive Nagash, considering how much of a dick he is. I'm like, why are they like, he's gone.
You see, Arkhan generally thinks Nagash is the only, like, one of the only ways to survive chaos, which is why he does it. Manfred thinks, I'm gonna backstab him and take all of Nagash's power. And then Nagash comes back and eats the god of the dead in the Warhammer world.
Right.
And then Manfred realizes, oh man, I done.
Oh.
I got what I asked for, didn't I?
Whoops.
Yeah. So Nagash is back. Volkmar the Grim, the Pope's name. Yeah, he's dead. He's gone.
Oh.
As for Eliothra, though, funny thing about her, like I said, no elven super, you know, god souls in her yet. But she's the son of this elf called Tyrion. And that is important because he has this funny thing called the Curse of Cain in his bloodline.
Oh, that elven dude that gets... It gets ganked by the Ultramarines. Cool.
We were in the other setting. Cain is actually a war god in this setting.
He's actually good.
He is. He gave Slaanesh a permanent scar that never healed. Mm-hmm. He's actually competent in Warhammer Fantasy.
Does he look the same?
He does. Not quite the same, actually. I'll send a picture of him.
Okay.
It's mostly the same.
Because in 40K, he's got like the sword and he's got the volcanic flesh thing going on. I'm like, that could be quite interchangeable, I would have thought.
You can tell it's like, yeah, it's still Cain. But he's a lot, like, he's even spikier and his sword is a lot,
slimmer
and more curved, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can still, you know, look and go, yeah, that's clearly Cain. But his helmet, like, his helmet's a bit different looking. Sword's different, a lot more spikes.
Still angry looking.
Still very angry looking.
He hasn't had any coffee for a week and he hasn't slept. He's like, I'm angry.
Yeah. And because, you know, Eliothra, the elf they were sacrificing to bring back Nagash and power boost him, is a descendant of the bloodline that Cain has cursed. Nagash just gets the curse, just inherits that instead of all of the elven god of life's power.
Okay.
But he's still stronger than anyone on the planet at this point. So Sylvania goes from being just kind of a shithole to Nagash's new home. Because Nagash goes back to Nahekara, blows it up, takes his big old magical black pyramid made out of warp stone, hovers it over to Sylvania. Across several continents, he just floats it over. It can fly, apparently.
And is that a parallel to a Blackstone fortress, or is that just like it's also a pyramid-y looking thing?
I don't think it's not really a parallel to a Blackstone fortress because those are, you know, they're like the mysterious Eldar artifact thingy.
Yeah, I was just thinking it's pyramidic. It's like jet black. Maybe it's similar.
maybe this like Nagash's pyramid was kind of an inspiration, but like those are weapon kind of things.
Yeah,
this is just his big pyramid that he made, one to help him with magic, and two to piss off the Tomb Kings by building a bigger pyramid than the best Tomb King. Okay.
Mine's bigger than yours.
Pretty much, yeah.
Sounds like something Nagash would do, to be honest.
So he floats.
That's why his hat's so big. It's just like, my hat's bigger than yours. It's massive. And every time they're like, I've made mine slightly bigger. And he's like, right, fine. My 2 feet. Right. I've added 2 feet.
I'm going to make it much bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
So that happens. Everyone, like the Chaos Gods, are not a fan of that because Nagash has just shown, well, he just ate a god. We're gods. Mm. And his goals are pretty anathema to theirs. Like, he wants to replace Chaos with just Nagash. He wants to be the unending god of everything. So after he floats his pyramid over, Nurgle demons try to invade Sylvania. And the Skaven do the funny explosion and nuke his pyramid. Nagash throws a hissy fit and kills the entire Nurgle demon army with one blow. Mm-hmm. Because his version of a hissy fit is a WMD. But, you know, he's lost his black pyramid that he was going to use to make himself stronger with, so he's kind of out of ideas. So we leave Sylvania for a bit. Nagash is, by this point, he's back, so he's in charge of all of the undead remaining. So in the end times, for a while, the undead are really just Nagash's foot soldiers or whatever he needs them to be.
Okay.
He actually does bring back Vlad.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, and then says, yeah, I'll totally resurrect Isabella one day if you, if you serve me.
No.
And just holds that over Vlad's head.
Couldn't do one nice thing in his life.
No, he couldn't.
What a dick.
He couldn't.
Ugh.
Unfortunately, Nurgle demons resurrect Isabella.
Oh, no.
So that's not great.
No, she's a stinky. Oh, no.
So as all this is happening, Nagash and all the undead go to the Wood Elf Forest with the big old fancy tree of life.
Right.
Ally with everyone living by this point. Vlad actually talks to Carl Franz, and it's a pretty funny interaction. Because by this point, most of the other elector counts that could become the Emperor are dead.
Right.
So Vlad goes to, you know, Carl Franz and is like, you know, if you die, I'm up to be the Emperor. And then Carl Franz just goes, well, you need to be alive to be the Emperor, dickhead. and since he's undead, he's not technically alive, so...
Not eligible. Go back to where you came from.
Yeah.
Before I smack you with my hammer.
And while that's happening, Nagash and the living ally, and then it's time for the finale of the end times. Ooh. And so they all go to big final battle. A chaos rift is opening, much like the ones on the north and southern poles. The vampires are, you know, fighting chaos. The side of order is fighting chaos, you know, the elves, the dwarves, the humans. One of the elves teleports all of the orcs in the world to that point, and now they're fighting chaos, because Teclis is a bit of a broken mage. He is mid-max to the extreme.
Just like the idiot who's just like, what are the orcs? Smash.
They're here.
They're just like, yeah, cool.
They're here now.
They're here now.
To briefly get away from the vampires, because I like this, Grimgor Ironhide, the prophet of Gork, nearly kills Archaon. Doesn't succeed.
Why not? That sounds cool.
You know how Abaddon has Drachnion?
Oh, yeah.
The sword of the demon in it? Archaon has his own version of it, and Grimgor headbutts him so hard that his helmet with the eye in it that can see the future breaks.
Oh.
And then Archaon has to shatter his sword and release the demon in it to kill Grimgor.
Right.
But you know what? He still put up a good show of it. As for the vampires, they're fighting. You know, they're doing what they can. The eight incarnates, which the people that I briefly talked about, the Winds of Magic in Warhammer before. There's eight of them, proper ones, and each wind inhabited a person.
Okay.
So the ones that are left are trying to close this chaos rift. And then Manfred walks on the scene. And he goes, yes, this is the perfect time to stab someone in the back. Nothing can go wrong here. So he walks up to the incarnate of metal, Balthasar Gelt, while he is closing the ever-expanding chaos rift that is threatening to destroy the world, and he goes, yeah, I think I'm going to stab him through the back now. And he does. He stabs Balthasar Gelt in the back. Thank you, Manfred. Very cool. You know, Gelt dies, because swords don't belong in people's spine, believe it or not.
That's pretty bad for you.
Yeah, not great. Not great. And then Tyrion... stabs Manfred in the back with a sword that has the power of the sun in it. So he ultra explodes.
Cool.
Which is a bit of revenge for killing his daughter way back when. Problem is, the world is now ending, because one of the guys who was keeping chaos from overtaking it just got stabbed. The elven wizard who brought all the orcs here tries to take Balthasar Gelt's Wind of Magic into himself. But he already had to do this with someone else. So now that there's a third wind inside of him, he explodes. Rift is overtaking everything. The world is doomed. Nagash is crumbling into nothingness. The last living or at least one of the last vampires, Neferata, who is the first one, she's still around, retreats to Sylvania with her, I believe it's her cousin, who is a tomb queen. And, you know, they make up, because, boy, did they hate each other for a while. But, no, it's the end of the world. The vampire and the mummy make friends. And the second-to-last bit of the Warhammer world's destruction actually takes place in Sylvania. as all of the remaining undead and living people still left make a final stand against chaos as it consumes Sylvania into nothingness. And that is the end of the vampire counts in Warhammer Fantasy, I'm afraid.
So they got messed up by their own top dog, Manfred, and he's like, yeah, this is a good idea. Yeah,
Manfred's
not like thinking ahead, like, maybe chaos is a problem I shouldn't be interfering with. Like, nah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Not
idiot.
Even enough brain power to go, maybe wait till the rift, just after the rift is closed, and then stab.
Yeah.
Like, no, it had to be now. It had to be now. Setting needs to end.
What a dum-dum.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is the Vampire Counts and Sylvania. Von Karstein's, specifically, while I'm at it. Are there any final questions? Oh, I should mention also that Manfred survives in the Age of Sigmar, because of course he does.
What? Why? He got blown up by a sun sword. That's not fair.
I believe, last I checked, the reasoning was because he is still a pretty powerful vampire wizard, and Nagash can yank them around by their chain pretty easily.
Didn't you say that Nagash crumbled into bits at the end of
Turns out Chaos locked him in a like this fancy magic crypt thing, and then Sigmar broke him out, and then they went on a buddy cop adventure for a while before Nagash became Nagash again.
Interesting.
And betrayed Sigmar, because these people do not learn. Their idol is Starscream. But yeah, he's Manfred. As for why he survived, it's because in part because he is pretty capable. In part because Nagash uses his constant treacherous scheming to, you know, keep his edge sharp. And in part because he makes a funny, like, fall guy, so whenever anything goes wrong, Nagash just beats up Manfred like a chew toy.
Would it be fair to say that Manfred is the cockroach of the Warhammer Fantasy universe?
At this point, I think it would be pretty fair. I'd say it could also apply to the Skaven, but I think cockroaches are easier to get rid of than the Skaven.
Yeah, they're like the tardigrades, you know, those little like bear micro things that are just like we can survive explosions of nuclear proportions, and they're like, yeah, cool, but just more violent versions of them with teeth, and claws. But yeah, I know, like the counts sound interesting, the vampires sound interesting. It's just a case of like, they don't seem to have the best ideas of what to do with their time. That's all I'm going to say.
No, a lot of them,
like, they could be so useful.
You know, I'll give Vlad credit. He wanted to be in charge, and he almost did it. You know, evil. But I can't fault him for what he did. He seemed to have a pretty good idea on how to do it until he lost his magical ring and fought Warhammer Fantasy Leroy Jenkins, who tackled him onto a spike. You know, I can't blame Vlad.
The other thing was when you mentioned like the dwarves. I know you got chaos dwarves. Has there ever been a vampire dwarf? Or is that just heresy?
Off the top of my head, I can't name any specifics. I believe I've read some lore where they are at least implied to exist in very small numbers. But dwarves, I do not like vampires. They hate orcs and chaos more, but that's like a matter of saying, oh, this terminal disease is worse than the other terminal disease. It's like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm glad I don't have cancer. I just have diabetes. I don't like diabetes.
Yeah. I know. I just like the idea of like a dwarf going, I'll have this if it can help me defeat the other factions I hate even more. Like, oh, I'll take this on. But like really mess people up.
Usually, at least the passage I read, and it's been a while, I'd have to go back and find it, implied that it was more a result of the invasions, them getting forcefully vampirized. Right. Not so much a dwarf was like, well, if I do this, I can really mess up the orcs.
I suppose the dwarf's just like, I need a sharper axe and a bigger one, and I'll be fine. And that's
all. I'll be good. They're definitely the rest of them. Yeah, they're not as big a threat. Like, they're not as legendary as Vlad or Manfred, so they don't cause as big of a ruckus. But they do. Like I said at the beginning, if chaos isn't the main threat, it's probably the vampires. So they do get up to shenanigans. It's just a lot of the time they need a break to gather their wits.
They need to catch their wind.
they don't have either the North Pole or the Realm of Chaos to just retreat back to at any given moment. So they gotta lay low for a while if they're defeated.
Use the zombies as fodder. Like, just take care of them for a minute while we catch our breath. It's fine.
That's a valid use of how to do it. Tire them out fighting stupid zombies, and then the superhuman knights charge you down.
Yeah.
But I definitely one of the factions I wish there was a more direct equivalent of in 40K. I love the undead factions in fantasy.
It's a bit of a shame we don't have like an equivalent with I mean the Necrons are kind of being that undead thing in 40K, but
yeah. They're kind of like the Tomb Kings after their, you know, that rewrite way back when. After, you know, now they have all got wacky personalities and fight each other just like the Tomb Kings. But they're still like, you know, they're robots. Like, they're not true undead. They're like transhuman, you know, crazy robots. Not like the, you know, proper undead, like, yes, some magic dude is puppeting this guy's corpse and then doing that a million times over. There's no quite Nagash equivalent to just be the worst person ever in 40K.
Yeah. Even the stuff in 40K with like Nurgle is more like, oh, he's strangely naive and a bit silly. You know, oh, Nurgle's just like, I'm giving gifts and being a nice, but it's like, I don't know if like all that pus and everything counts as a blessing. Oh well. That's a bit of a nasty gift. And he's like, oh, well, get my ladle, make a nice potion. Like, naughty boy, stop it. Yeah. And there isn't the malevolence, I find, of, like, Nagash or the vampire counts to an extent where there's just not, other than Abaddon, who's more of a stilted, like, my dad was going to be in charge, and then he got told off and obliterated. Oh, I'm angry now. Like, there's not, like, the equivalent of Nagash. Yeah, I'll do it then. Fine. My dad was cringe.
Or he shows up. He's like, "I'm the big threat now. I'm gonna be the worst person in the galaxy. You all could go to hell, and I'll send you there myself."
Yeah.
I do wish there was something, but maybe one future release. But for now, we just have the vampire counts. Do you feel more informed on the faction that I accidentally left out completely?
I do, and they're interesting in that. I like the idea of like what you were saying about the whole thing of like Vlad and his missus like having like more to them than just being the evil undead people. It's like, oh no, they had like motivations beyond that, and that's quite interesting. And I can imagine how the dynamic is where it's like they're not accepted by pretty much most of the people in the setting. And yeah, I don't really want to know anything else about Manfred. He just sounds like a pain in the ass. But the rest of them, you know.
Yeah, he's the worst. I include Nagash because at least Nagash is a dickhead on design. He's just not a jerk. Yeah. He's not. It's fun when he does it.
Yeah, he's like a Scooby-Doo villain.
And I hope this was a good little introduction. Same with the last Fireside. There's, of course, a lot more, but you know these are the nice little introductory little bites to Warhammer Fantasy for y'all. So there's of course their armies, zombies, ghosts, more, all that fun stuff. But I hope this has been a good little primer to what the vampire counts are like. Do please let me know if I've managed to do the same thing last time, just on smaller scale, and miss some vital character. Oh, there is one more character I want to talk about. He's not that relevant. I just find it really funny.
Okay.
I don't remember his name, because his name is not even the important part. Oh. He just was like, I'm going to be the next Nagash. And at least by, you know, a while ago, he did have rules. And he was a powerful wizard. He was real damn good at, you know, being a vampire mage. And then the end times happened and came around. Nagash comes back, and he offers all the vampires, like, hey, you should come serve me now. And granted, it's an offer you can refuse. So most of them don't. But this guy goes, no, I am your equal. You will serve me. And then Nagash lights his head on fire. he's no longer around.
He does the Halo cosmetic legendary thing where he's just like, burning skull face. Yeah.
He turned on Grunt birthday party.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yay, pop. Done.
Yeah, there was that guy. Like I said, not really that important in the grand scheme of things. I just laugh every time.
Just a fun aside, yeah.
It's like, I'm in charge. Oh, I'm on fire.
Yeah, we always like an upstart who has no credentials to do so. Why not? No, I didn't think this through at all. I overestimated my powers.
He's like, Oh, I'm way out of my league. But yeah, like I said, this has been the Vampire Counts.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Make sure you, check out the last one for the rest of the factions that I didn't skip over. and tune in next time. Any teasers you want to give, Andy?
I don't know about teasers, but I would say let us know in the comments if you want us. One of the reasons we did this video in particular is because we missed the Vampire Counts in the last episode, and people were saying we want to see stuff on them. So if you have a particular faction you want us to cover, then let us know in the comments, and we'll have a look through, because we read all the comments, and I guess we don't know what we're going to do next time, but we'll have a think, and you have the power to influence our decision. So bear that in mind.
We like to keep the quizzes and the mainline podcast nice and scheduled, but this is just like we said, a little primer to Warhammer Fantasy. So if there's anyone in particular you guys got an interest in, let us know, and we'll take a look and see if I'll go through that one next time.
Exactly.
Make it the elves.
Don't talk about elves.
Thank you. Thank you for watching, everyone, and have a good one.
Bye, guys.